Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
Turn off the spigot, man. You can't keep throwing trillions of dollars into the economy without having inflation. It's just insane.
Yeah.
But the Democrats keep printing. They got the presses going crazy.
Yeah.
Creating money.
Yeah.
All righty, welcome back. Mike Lomas, today's host, Glenn Wiggle, taking a well-deserved day off from our podcast. We are the Financial Guys, the place where money meets politics. We do manage money for a living. For those of you that tune into the radio show, tune into the podcast every week, you know, we have a ton of fun with the show, with the program. And I think it's important, you know, not now more than ever, I think people are starting to get where money meets politics makes sense, right? We've got a rampant inflation. You can see what the stock market's done over the last few months based on that inflation. Most of that is just horrific policies out of Washington, a leader who's just an absolute moron when it comes to economic understanding the American people, understanding what drives this country, and that is free market capitalism. And you can see what it's been doing to the economy, the markets, and the importance, again, of matching money with politics. In studio with me today, a very good friend of mine, Carl Palladino, congressional candidate for the new 23rd Congressional District in New York. And Mr. Palladino, it's awesome to have you back in studio again. I have not been able to have you on the radio because they were mad at you because you said a bad word or something like that. Yeah. But I am able to have you on the podcast. And you're going up against Nick Langworthy here in the next few weeks to be the Republican candidate of the 23rd District. And the first question I got to ask you is, what the hell are you thinking, man? Like, you've got a great business. You've built this huge business. And I want to talk about that because I don't think a lot of people understand how many people you employ and the jobs you created. The bullshit you went through running for the school district. Then I mean that. The bullshit you went through. I still to this day can't figure out in the city of Buffalo when you've got 30 and 40% graduation rates and somebody steps up and says, hey, I think we should try something different. They attacked you like I've never seen anybody get attacked before. And, you know, at some point, a lot of my buddies have said that, like, what the hell? How much stuff can this guy take? And you're back at it again. So what are you thinking?
Well, first, let me thank you, Mike and Glenn, for giving me this moment to tell who I am and what's going on. The school board was an interesting experience. To be honest with you, I enjoyed every minute of it. It was the type of experience where the acrimony and the debates and the confrontations were actually fun for me and for my friend Larry Quinn and Patty Pierce, who were also with me on a great many of the issues that we talked about. But yes, change comes very hard, and we have a completely failed education system here in the city of Buffalo. It's failed to this day. I mean, I sat on that board years ago. Very little can be done because of the strength of the idiots that get elected by the innocents in our city who, despite not being able to produce and not producing better education, they just keep getting elected.
Yeah,
it's so sad. It's a separate election in May. All their relatives go and vote, all right? They win. Only 4 to 5% of the electorate votes in the May election. It's terrible. You know, when you talk about the success, we use the term proficiency. Our school system has approximately an 8% at best proficiency among its students, meaning that they can pass the normal tests and they can move on, and you know, whether they're going to high school or going to college.
You said 8%. 8%.
Yeah, and it's so sad. You know, our attendance records are
That is a mountain of dysfunction that as a parent, I just can't even get my arms around. Like if my child was going to in a school district where they had a 1 in 4 chance of ending up in a federal goddamn prison and maybe a 30% chance of getting out, I would be listening to anybody with some new ideas, anybody with some new ideas. They didn't want that. They were petrified, scared of you.
You know, the one black leader in our community, Byron Brown, who could have impacted if he was paying attention and getting involved in the issues, he could have impacted the negativity on the board.
Yep.
But he chose to just stay aloof.
Yep. He chose to keep his job as well.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted to be a survivor, and
he's a suit,
and didn't want to get out there and get bruised up any at all. That was sad.
The
entire experience, though, I have to say, I enjoyed the majority of it. Okay, it was good for me. I'm a thick-skinned person. I've had tremendous success in life. I came out of the military, and I served 11 years of active and reserve duty, and I had a law degree, and I started a development company, and today the development company is so successful. It's where my son Billy is running it, and it's a very successful endeavor for us, and we're happy.
We're happy
with that wonderful experience of all the things we learned about our society going through that experience. Now, in my view, it's time for me to pay back to this community for all the support that they gave us, okay, to pay back in the sense that future generations of children and grandchildren, okay, can have something better than what they've had and what they have right now. And for me, anything I can do to move that needle, I'm willing to do. And somebody doesn't like me, hey, go knock yourself out. It doesn't bother me that one bit.
I think people don't understand, you know, you've built up Ellicott Development. There's no secret that this market here has been one of the most economically challenged markets, one of the hardest markets to make money in real estate, right? And you guys have done that. I mean, that's pretty amazing to me. Especially for years, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think of Carl Palladino, they think of the Ellicott Square building because it's such a staple in the city. But Ellicott Development is so much bigger than that now. Yeah. I see you guys everywhere.
We have over 600 properties, and we have 652 people right now working for us directly. Plus, over the years, thousands and thousands of contractor employees that we've put to work in the community, building the stuff that we sought to build.
Yeah,
and again, that was for me a pleasurable experience. It was wonderful. A good feeling comes out of that. And it wasn't for money as much as it was for the action. I just needed the action. I needed to go in there every day, and move papers around on my desk and give orders and
build stuff
and build stuff. And I learned a lot of lessons with it. And I those lessons I will bring with me in representing the community in Washington. I mean, it's Washington is totally dysfunctional, Republican and Democrat.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's a joke today. I was watching Tucker Carlson yesterday. He got into this whole nonsense of the border, okay, and what's happening and letting these hundreds of thousands of people come into this country, people who are not part of our culture, people who just can't blend in. They don't know the language. They don't understand. They don't understand how we live. And we're letting them in without any kind of vetting whatsoever.
Right. MS-13 gang members and just walking across the border.
It's sinful, okay? Now, where do I go with that? Well, I'll start right with the where it should be. Joe Biden is violating present laws right now in allowing this to happen. He is totally in violation of our immigration laws in allowing people to come across that border without proper vetting and jumping through the hoops.
Yeah.
Not only that, it's insulting to the millions of people that came here. My father, one of them, okay, as immigrants, earned their way came, complied with all the requirements, and lived a great life, and were able to raise their family.
You're breaking the law as you walk into the country. Your first act, your first thing in this country is breaking the law. You know, so as a congressman, part of the deal is you're going to make laws. You've already proposed that you're going to try to impeach Joe Biden.
The very first thing I'm going to do is introduce a resolution to have him impeached.
Number one, let me ask you this. Why in the heck? Why in the heck?
Not only for his illegalities, but also we have a president that seriously is not... And not engaged.
Yeah.
His handlers are making it look like he's engaged. They feed him pills every morning, okay, to try to keep him awake and alert. And the man is not there. And it's shameful that the handlers who are – they too are violating the law by allowing a president who's not competent and not telling the people. Why? Who gave them a right to cover up – an illness of our president.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Biden is what he is.
Can't even read a teleprompter at this point.
He never was a great guy. He never was a great representative.
Yeah.
Most people laughed at him during his career. He was always negative. He comes out with these wild statements showing that he did this and he did this. Okay, none of which is true.
Right. Times he's lied about his even back to his law degree. He said he was top of his class. He was like the bottom four. So you're gonna
76 out of 85, if I remember correct.
You're gonna impeach him for the border. My question is, why? Where are the rest of the goddamn
incompetency and the border?
Where's the rest of the Republican Party? You know, I would love to see the rest of the Republican Party. Why are they not investigating him and his son? We have the videotape of him telling his son, "Hey, son, hey, Hunter, I think there's some good articles coming out about it against you. I think you're clear." We've got Hunter saying, "Hey, Dad, we're going to give a cut to the big guy," right? You've got a net worth, and this is what always blows my mind. You in the private sector have created a net worth based on you building real estate, right? We can see that. I can drive around town and I can say, you know what? My buddy Carl is part of that redevelopment, right? When I look and try to figure out what the hell the Obamas have built, or the Biden family has built, and then you look at their net worth and you go, wait a minute, they're worth $20 million. Carl, I manage money for a living. I can tell you that when your salary is $175,000 a year, and you've got bills to pay, and you've got kids, and your son's a crack addict, and he's impregnated a stripper, $175,000, $200,000 doesn't go a long way to build a net worth of $20 million, right? But none of the Republicans seem to look into this, right? I was so happy to hear you say one of the first things I'm going to do is we're going to try to impeach this guy because he needs to go. He's a dirtbag.
A very well-known congressperson from New York State received information from an FBI, a Secret Service agent, okay, that at least twice a week, Klain, who is the chief of staff, and Susan Rice go over to Obama's house and get their instructions. They go in the morning. And they get their instructions for the week on how they should run the government because otherwise we have nobody in charge.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, is Obama doing us a favor? No, because he's participating in a conspiracy that is wrong, okay, for the American people. We're entitled to have the president we elected. And if he's not competent, then we should have another one. Now, unfortunately, the person that follows Biden is more incompetent than he is. She's a joke.
Yeah.
She can't put a sentence together. She's it's just laughable. But we're going to have to deal with that. And maybe we impeach her too. Okay. Especially when we get a Republican Congress, which I think we're going to get in January. We'll impeach her. Then who's up? Well, the Speaker of the House. It's probably going to be McCarthy, who is now the leader of the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives, and he'll probably be the Speaker of the House. Well, that's okay. I mean, we can deal with him. He's got all the qualities, okay, that we think we should have in a president, and I think we could live with it. But for now, we've got to take some action because this country is being degraded, whether it be in foreign affairs. Left $80 billion worth of military equipment in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I mean, he just gave an order. Pull out. That's it.
Yeah.
Leave everything, pull out. Left airplanes, tanks, you name it. He left everything.
Total incompetence. And by the way, we've got him on video years before saying you don't do that. He said, hey, look, if we leave all this stuff, do you not think we're going to use it against us? A bunch of years later, he does exactly that.
He embarrassed our country in the eyes of the world, and that was shocking. And everything he's done since, first day in office, he shuts down the Canadian pipeline. Why?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
And
now he's finally recognized, okay, that we have a tremendous shortage of oil, which is driving the price up. So what's he doing? He's going over to Saudi Arabia and begging them,
right. Okay?
But he hasn't started the lease program anymore, okay, the leasing American lands to the producers. And he hasn't opened the Canadian pipeline.
Right.
But he's trying to keep, you know, maintain some credibility on that and shutting those things down. And at the same time, he's dramatically fighting with Saudi Arabia to get them to increase their oil production.
We're producing 2 million barrels less per day right now than we did under Donald Trump.
It's sinful.
And then what I love is these environmentalists say, well, that's okay. We're saving the world. Well, how are we saving the world if we're going to go overseas to countries that could care less about the environment? To me, if it was really about the environment, okay, you go to these companies in Texas and you say, look, you're going to plant a certain amount of trees or whatever. We need to get this country back on track. Let's work together. I always like the carbon credits that these Democrats come up with, because nobody can tell me, and I've asked all of them, I've tried to figure out, I'm going to pay for this carbon credit. How exactly are you using that money to help make the environment better? If I could see, you know what, Chevron paid $100 million and they actually bought $100 million worth of trees, there might be some kind of an argument. But nobody can ever find where the money goes. It's like it's this black pit and it's gone. So somehow they're saving the world on all their private jets. They're going to save the world with carbon credits, but yet none of the money is actually going to help 1 ounce of the environment. It's almost like you can't make this stupidity up.
And then to compound it all, they come up with climate change.
Yeah, that's right.
Climate change. And trust me, I'm well read on this issue. There is no man-made climate change. It doesn't exist. It's a cottage industry started up by a bunch of people that invested in solar and windmills. And by the way, all those windmills you see, guess who makes the turbines for every windmill in the United States? China.
Well,
and here we are. We're saying, oh, we got to do something about China. We got to do something. Well, with the one hand, we're selling them $1 million worth of oil from our reserves. Okay.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, we're condemning them. Okay. For other activities on their part. How about this one? Fentanyl. All the fentanyl that has been killing kids in our country for years, all the fentanyl in the world is made in China. Mm. It's sent over to Mexico and then brought across the border.
My number one issue, by the way, with the Biden administration is that border right now. You know, one of the things I've said is to a lot of my conservative friends is thank God for Joe Manchin, right? Yeah. I mean, at least he stopped a lot of this economic bullshit that he wants. I mean, you're talking about the Biden was proposing a 90% tax, increase the capital gains. Joe shot all that down.
Thank God for Joe Manchin. He should be the next president of the United States.
Thank God he shot that stuff down, right? Yeah. But to your point, we have an open border. You know what's amazing? So I've been fighting the COVID bullshit and all the mandates and all that crap. And you got the Democrats that have told me and Glenn, we're killing kids. Oh my God, because you're not, you know, you're telling them not to wear a face diaper. But yet, which is all bullshit, by the way, because I couldn't find a kid in all of America that died of COVID, right? Not one child that has died of COVID, not one. But yet, they have no problem allowing the fentanyl to walk right across this border. And every single day, every single hour, we're losing kids to drug overdoses, and they couldn't give two shits about it, right? So they're gonna tell me I'm killing kids because I'm saying the masks are worthless. But yet the real problem in this country, you walk through cities like Philadelphia, Chicago, these people are zombies now. I mean, you didn't see that stuff 30, 40 years ago. There's zombies.
Downtown Buffalo.
And downtown Buffalo. And nobody wants to address the real problem, right? It's really amazing. Let me ask you this. You're up by 30 points in some of the polls that I'm looking at, right? Obviously, to me, it's obvious that it's Carl Country. People love you in that district, right? Let me ask you this, though. Do you have a different feeling now from when you ran for governor? I mean, you had a lot of love basically across this state. You geographically won New York State, except for the crazies in New York City.
Every county in upstate New York. Unfortunately, the city in New York is just swollen with progressive people.
Yeah. Okay?
And
it's a mental illness.
And that was, you know, running for office was really, after I was involved with it, I realized how stupid it was. All right, trying to beat a Democrat in New York State is just virtually impossible. I have a heart and soul for Lee Zeldin. I would hope that he could turn it around because he is from that area. He's from downstate in Long Island, and hopefully he could bring enough vote out of there in order to dovetail it with the upstate vote and win. I mean, we've had decades of Democrats.
Did you see that audit in New York? That audit in New York, where they audited the votes and the who's voting in New York State. Erie County has 146% of registered voters. So my wife goes, wait a minute. Amy says, let me back up. Aren't you working on 100%? I said, yes. And out of 100%, many of the, quote, eligible voters are crack addicts on the east side. There's no way they're voting, right? There's no way they registered to vote, right? So there's no possible way you're at 100%. We're at 146%. So clearly there's something wrong with the system, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just obvious. We know even going back to Obama when he won Philadelphia, he got 125% of the vote. 125% of eligible voters. Well, that there's something wrong with the system, right? I mean, it's broken.
There's a big payoff for cheating.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Joe Biden right now. He can't hand out enough to his Democrat donors.
Well, look at Hochul. Well, Hochul just gave millions of dollars to a company that donated $300,000 for her. That company just happened to get the in-home COVID tests that New York State was going to pay for with no bidding process. And they just do it so obvious. That's what's so frustrating about a business owner and a taxpayer here. But let me ask you the question again. Is there a different feeling now running again? I mean, it feels to me that
this district is I believe 65% Republican enrolled. And the prime voters is 126,000 of them in the district. It's all people that know me very well. I mean, it basically starts at the south line of the city and goes right down to the Pennsylvania border and then goes across to Chemung County. So you've got Chautauqua, Cattaraugus, Allegheny, and all the way across. It's Carl Country.
Yeah. The biggest concern right now for Americans, the border is a huge concern of mine. I think the biggest concern for average Americans is inflation, right? It's hitting them in the pocketbooks, you know?
Turn off the spigot, man. You can't keep throwing trillions of dollars into the economy without having inflation. It's just insane.
Yeah.
But the Democrats keep printing. They got the presses going crazy.
Yeah.
Creating money.
Yeah. Let me play a clip, if you don't mind. This is Scott Levin. I thought he did a good job. He was interviewing Nick Langworthy. Obviously, Nick's your opponent in the primary there. And his question, I thought, to Nick was valid. Nick was the head of the Republican Party here. I got to be honest with you. If there's a time for the Republicans to make any grounds in New York State, it should have been over the last 12 months anyways, right? We have everyday Americans that voted for Joe Biden because they didn't like Donald Trump. And now they're going to the gas pump and realizing, holy crap, it's costing me double to fill up my car. They're going into grocery stores and realizing, oh my gosh, I'm paying three times for eggs. And you know what? I'm lucky they're there. I mean, you're starting to see some of the supply chain issues where, you know, it's turning into Venezuela, right? So I just want your comments on what Nick says, because Nick was the head of this party. He is the head of this party. And all of a sudden, he declared himself the candidate for the 23rd district.
Talk about some of your critics out there. There are some out there. You have faced growing criticism over the past few days for running for Congress for this congressional seat while chair of the state party. You currently are. The Fulton County Republican Party chair said that you should step down and told the New York Post, and I quote here, "It's insulting to think that you can run the state committee, the primaries, and on the other hand, run for a congressional seat. Nick is going to look at what is best for himself," end quote. How can you be a candidate and be an effective party chair?
Well,
how could he be? That's the question to you. I mean, if he wasn't an effective party chair, which I don't think he was.
You see, when Nick was just running politics, this is the first time he's gone for an elective office. When he was just running politics, he was behind the scenes, and people, I mean, he wasn't ineffective, all right? He did not work hard enough on rebuilding the party, especially in Erie County. Now, okay, he goes on and becomes the state chair. The day he became the state chair, his ego went friggin' crazy, man. His head got so big, and all of a sudden, he was God. He couldn't do anything wrong. And he says, well, if I'm getting one paycheck, I could get two paychecks, okay? I can run both of these operations, because I'm good and I'm smart, and nobody's going to complain. Well, people are complaining. Not only Joe Citizen, but his committeemen, his county chairs, okay, across the state, we've heard from many of them, all right, that are totally fed up with him, and they think he should resign right now as the party chair, run against me, get beat, and get the hell out of politics.
Yeah, if you can't grow the Republican Party when gasoline is $5 a gallon and people are barely surviving to pay to be able to do milk
Nick,
and cookies.
Nick doesn't think about any of that.
He's
worried about politics. That's all. You know, he just wants the power.
Yeah.
The power.
Let me play another clip, because here's what he thinks of you, by the way.
Most high-profile opponent is businessman Carl Palladino, who did very well in this district when he ran for governor, I believe it was 12 years ago. He was first to announce that he was running once Chris Jacobs dropped out of the race. Now, you supported Carl's campaign then. Why run against Carl Palladino now?
I mean, a lot's happened in 12 years. A lot's happened in the last few days, too, and that's exactly why I'm running for Congress, because I believe I can be a voice that can serve and be someone that takes on the Biden administration in a clear and coherent and conservative way without distraction.
Now, he has said the word distraction about Carl Palladino about six times. This is not the first time he said the word distraction. He thinks you're a distraction.
Well, then he doesn't understand politics, because certainly I will be a distraction in Washington, D.C.
What I was saying. I'm trying to scratch my head. I'm thinking, what the hell is he thinking?
He has not a clue why I'm running. He wants the same old, okay? Everything is nice and, you know, party leadership runs things, okay? Obey the orders, you do this, you do that. That isn't what I'm going to do in Washington, and he knows it. Yes, there'll be drama. There'll be distraction, all right? And if he doesn't like it, that's just too bad.
Because
I think the people would send me there for the good reason, okay, that I would be creating some turmoil.
Yeah, so
Washington needs.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, what the hell are you talking about, Nick? Like, distraction. Do you think we don't need a distraction? Do you think we don't need somebody pissed off who's going to go? Because right now, and I'll tell you this about the left, and I'll give credit where credit's due, right? The left is ferocious. They really are. They really are ferocious, right? They have burned down major cities, right? Portland, Minnesota, right? Pick one, right? Seattle, right? Baltimore. They literally, everything's on fire, right? And nobody could investigate a thing. Nobody could find one person to press charges on. Yet the FBI lets a bunch of people into the Capitol on January 6th, and they're arresting, you know, 75-year-old lady who we know many of them were literally escorted in. Hey, come on in, right? Yeah. And we know some of these people who we've played the videotapes of are clearly part of the FBI in doing that, but they're still the January 6th. The answer, right? They continue to go. They're like, I always say, they're like herpes. They just don't go away. There's no cure for them. You think you beat them, but they don't go away. And they are so relentless. Going back to the school district, they'll watch school districts fail. They'll watch graduation rates at 25%, and they don't give a shit. They keep going. They keep going. And the Republicans, you know what they do? They negotiate. We're right now, you're the first person I've heard wanting to impeach the president. This guy has set up a criminal family $80,000 a month to his crack addict son. Now, and nobody's looking into this. Nobody's saying that we should take a look at this.
Another thing I'm going to do is, her name is slipping right now. A police officer shot a woman in the head in the Capitol on January 6th for no good reason, no justifiable reason. He shot her and killed her. I have never heard anything other than the cop is, they figured it was justified and so he's not going to be prosecuted. What does that mean? Are we losing our basic values now? It's all right to shoot an innocent person just because you're a Capitol cop?
Yeah.
You can go pull a gun out and shoot a woman who's knocking on a door?
Yeah. Well, you got to wonder where all these ties go. And I used to think years ago, all these conspiracy, these people are nuts. And now I'm thinking, I get it. Yeah. Like, I get it. Yeah. I saw the videos on January 6th. Yeah. I saw the people that they're trying to track down and the people that said, oh, come on in. And the people with earpieces and where, why aren't they being investigated? Yeah. Nobody's asking where they are, right? They're interviewing, you know, 75-year-old lady who got escorted in, but they're not interviewing the guy who said, come on in. What's up with that, right? Carl, I wanted I know we're up against the clock here. I want to do, you also are proposing a lawsuit against some of the new gun laws. And, you know, what's amazing to me is we have many gun laws in the state. In fact, Andrew Cuomo passed the New York Safe Act, but yet we still had the Buffalo shooter. You look at Chicago, you're not allowed in the city of Chicago to buy bullets, let alone a gun. Yet they have the most amount of gun violence. It just never seems to end. But I was hoping you could talk a little bit about your lawsuit.
It's all misdirection. It's not about guns. It's about mental disease. The weapon is a vehicle to attain an end. It's all. It takes somebody to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Okay, to make the gun work. And here they've got everyone focused on, well, guns. We got to take care of, we got to get guns off the street. Well, what happens when you get the guns off the street? I mean, that guy shot a guy who killed three people in a mall out in Indiana the other day, all right? And he put 10 slugs in a guy, okay, who's a great marksman, and he was a private citizen, and he did the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, if you take the guns away from the good guys, only the bad guys are going to have the guns. Well, and it's so foolish and so stupid. It's as bad as climate change and all these other issues.
Well, what's amazing to me is the Democrats are focused on helping the bad guys, right? Bail reform. I've talked to police officer after police officer, detective after detective. One of my good buddies is a detective.
He said, passed that thing without any kind of hearings, yeah, without any kind of testimony from the general public.
Yeah. Yeah. But using guns as an example, okay, if it's gun control, why don't we start with the bad guys? Why don't we start with, hey, look, if I get pulled over and I've got 75 guns in my trunk and they're unregistered, maybe I go to jail for a few years, yeah, right? Yeah, instead, yeah, it's just the opposite. Instead, we let them out on no bail. They're back out in the streets. Their crack addict house on the east side's got another 100 guns, but yet Mike Lomas wants to have a pistol to carry to protect his family. They're going to look at my social media accounts.
New York had a gun law. The Supreme Court a few weeks back ruled that our gun law was unconstitutional, overly restrictive, okay, and in violation of the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Immediately, within 2 days, our New York State legislature blindly, carelessly, untrustworthy, unaccountable, got together and created another replacement law. In their haste, the replacement law is twice as bad in violation of the Second Amendment as the original law, because the replacement law tells you where you can't carry a gun, which is basically everywhere. Yes, you can have a gun. We'll license you to have a gun. But you got to keep it locked up in the house, okay, because you can't take it with you anywhere. You can't go to church. You can't walk down the street. You can't go to any public gathering. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't do anything with the gun. So why have a gun You wonder, how can people be so stupid?
Yeah, that's what blows my mind.
And you know, guys like Pat Burke, Sean Ryan, guys from Western New York, okay, our elected officials, they vote for that crap.
Yep.
I mean, where's the logic?
Yep.
How do these people rise to that level where we trust them to pass legislation that's going to be viable and good for our community?
Sad.
It's sad.
Sad. And they just never, ever look at the results. It's amazing to me. And it doesn't matter what they control with these liberals, right? It seems to me they don't care. They don't care that the whole town's on fire, right? They burned down their own towns, by the way, which is absolutely amazing to me, right? Like Elmwood Village in the city of Buffalo, probably, you know, 9 out of 10 voting Democrat. That's where they go to burn down, right? They don't burn down the Republican Party. But they are relentless. They continue to plow forward. They continue to do what they got to do. I have to play. Can I play your commercial? Yeah. Folks, you got to listen to this, because I think if you're going to consider supporting anybody, I think you listen to this commercial. And you, at the end of it, I think you're going to understand why you would possibly support Carl Paladino here.
He has endorsed renegade gubernatorial candidate Carl Paladino. Nick Langworthy, Carl Paladino's biggest fan.
He is a much wider known commodity here in Western New York. I mean, obviously, he has a tremendous following. Carl's plan to cut taxes and to cut spending are really just what the doctor ordered.
And that's why Carl has resonated so well upstate. We need a change, and the change is Carl Paladino. And I believe he's going to have tremendous crossover appeal. He will not govern in an angry way. He'll govern in a common sense way.
Erie County is firmly, 100% unequivocally committed to Carl Paladino. They're looking for something different. They're looking for a bold and decisive leader, and Carl Paladino brings that brand of leadership to the campaign. Carl is a tremendously popular figure here in Western New York, and I, as Erie County Chairman, will make sure that we turn out the votes for him.
I had to end on that note, because that is probably the greatest commercial I've ever seen in my life. When the guy you're running up against says you are the greatest thing ever, 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 I think so. Carl, God bless you for running. I thank you for stepping up. It's a big deal. I know you got really thick skin. And I got to be honest with you, I've been doing radio for 20-something years. I got thick skin. I don't have the skin that you have. I don't know if I could do that. I mean, really, truly, you know, they are relentless. They attack you. I've always said, and this is pretty obvious, the people they attack are the people they're scared of, right? And the minute they hear Carl Paladino, you were on, I think you were on Steve Bannon, and Steve said, you might be more hated by the left than Trump. And I saw you have, and it was funny because you smiled just like that. Like,
what you're, do you call me, a missile? Oh, a heat-seeking missile.
So I God bless you for stepping up, man. Is there any websites or anything you want to plug before you leave here? CarlPaladino.com. CarlPaladino.com. And that, by the way, was I the first to break that commercial? Will I be the first to? I know you're going to clean it up a little bit.
You're very first.
So yeah. We're the first to break that commercial. Yeah. But Carl, I wish you the best, man. Anything that we can do
Mike,
to help you?
Mike, you and I think alike on most issues, at least as I could see. And same with Glenn. Over the years, you've done a tremendous service to this community by shedding light on the BS that goes on. And I so admire you guys for what you've done. And it's not, I'm not patting you on the back. I'm saying
you're somehow
a true inspiration in this town.
I thank you, but you somehow figure out the shit before we do. We report on it. And Glenn would always say, like, how the hell does Carl know this stuff, right? Remember the commercial you did with Frolicking in Prison? And who was the guy? You said he'll end up in prison. And sure enough, it was a restaurant deal with him and Byron Brown. And then 3 months later, sure enough, they're in jail. So you've always been a visionary. And God bless you. I know the people of the 23rd District seem to be. I see the Carl signs everywhere. So, man, I'll help you any way I can. And look at folks. We need change in this country, man. We need change big time. And I really am sick and tired of hearing people saying, you should do this or you should do that. Go help volunteer. Do what you can. Put a sign on your lawn. Talk to people. Get involved. You know what? Here's what I do. On the day of voting, I pick up the phone. Hey, don't forget to vote. Don't forget to vote. Don't forget to vote. Every vote counts. getting people involved, every vote matters, man. If you want change, and I'll tell you this, to me, we have to have change with somebody with a set of stones and a voice. Because if you keep sending the same rhino Republicans back, you're going to get the same result. You know, even during the first year or 2 years of Trump, Trump talked about draining the swamp and exactly what we needed to do, right? The swamp ended up eating him a little bit, right? The Faucis of the world. We didn't drain it enough. We got to send people back who are going to get rid of some of these agencies, get rid of some of these, you know, deadbeats that have been there forever that are jobs. I can't think of better people to do it than business owners, people that have been vetted. They know what assets minus liability means. They know what to hire people means. They know what to fire people means. That's a big deal. Once again, buddy, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. If you need us throughout the week, folks, you do know we manage money for a living. Use us as a resource. 833-FIN-GUYS. Our website, thefinancialguys.com. If you're turning 65, don't forget about our Medicare team. You know, turning 65, think of the financial guys. Our home and auto. Give us 14 minutes. Let us shop over 25 companies to save you money, whether it's commercial real estate, whether it's your home and auto. We can shop to save you money. It's so easy. A liberal could do it. And, of course, managing money for a living. That's what we do, our investment committee and team. If you think like us, use our team as a resource. Again, 833-FIN-GUYS. God bless. We'll see you next week.